KTOO Public Media would like to acknowledge the Tlinédi of the Akkwan. We are on their ancestral homeland. Our broadcast studios are built on fill that was once tideland and part of what is called the Indian Village. We recognize those families who regarded the tidelands as a source of food and part of their home, who maintained smokehouses on the tidelands, and who parked their boats in the harbor. The families of the Juneau Indian Village, like their ancestors, cherish and depend upon their immediate connection to the waterfront. KTOO is working to lift up Tlingit voices through the sharing of stories like these and the broadcast of the Tlingit language. Please excuse us for our mistakes and gunas chish for your patience as we learn. This is Juneau Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney. Most people don't think of math as a language, but our next guest speaks it fluently. Dr. Megan Busby is this week's presenter in the UAS Evening at Egan Lecture Series. She'll give a talk this Friday night about how math can be a powerful tool to describe the world around us. Hello, Dr. Busby.
Hi, Shelley. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for being here. You're an associate professor of mathematics at UAS. How did you first get into math?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I had a really great few teachers when I was in junior high school and high school. And I remember the first proof that I saw about the quadratic formula, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's so cool. So that's sort of, I guess, where it started.
A lot of people are intimidated by math, as I'm sure you know, and by math classes. What's it like to teach it at the university level?
It's pretty interesting. I think one of the nice things about UAS for me is that I get to teach a range of classes. So I teach beginning algebra, some calculus classes, and then upper division math classes. So it's interesting for me to be able to teach a variety of things. I definitely see all the students that also are still scared about math. And I think that's a big part of my job, is I try to figure out how to relax them about math, but also to challenge them. And hopefully I'm there when they're rewarded with understanding new concepts, or, oh yeah, I can do math. And so that's kind of what I look forward to, I guess.
Your presentation this Friday is called The Quote Unquote Real World from One Mathematician's Point of View. What is implied by the real world?
Mathematical modeling is one of the classes that I teach. It's also the topic that I studied when I was in graduate school. And from that perspective, it's sort of an interdisciplinary field where you're thinking about mathematics and how it can be used to describe phenomena kind of anywhere. And I ended up studying it with ecology, biology, mostly life sciences, but also physics. So it's kind of real in the sense that you try to take all of the variables that are out there and try to reduce it down to something that's quantifiable, to something that is simple enough that you can actually extract information from it. When you think about all the variables that go into, are you going to, is the population going to increase tomorrow by 7%, by 1%? There's way more variables that we can think of, and even the ones that we can think of, it's hard to quantify them. And so it's sort of the real world because we try to apply mathematics to the real world, but we also recognize that it's not everything. It's just a simplified component that can be used to help make decisions.
I see. Maybe you'll touch on this later, but I feel like we're starting to talk about the difference of like qualitative analysis and quantitative analysis, or qualitative data and quantitative data. I've always been more on the qualitative side,
sure.
But I've also always felt that you can't have one without the other.
I agree. I think that's one of the things I like about math, but just interdisciplinary. It's also a thing I like about UAS is that it's so small that I get to interact with people that work in all different fields. And even though my math specialty doesn't necessarily work in some applications, it's really interesting to know that some of the faculty here are using different math tools. There's graph theory is one that's sort of a network idea where you can think about individuals and how they interact with each other. And that's that depends on sort of your location or the number of relationships that you have. So it's sort of a mathematical structure that's different than the types of things that I deal with, which are more continuous equations, that you think about it sort of as an average understanding of individuals. So everybody sort of has the same properties, and you make that kind of assumption, which means you're only going to get a certain type of information out of it. So.
Well, you recently spent some time in the real world outside of academia. You have recently returned from a sabbatical, and you had a big project to work on during that time. What was your intention for the sabbatical, and did you fulfill it?
Yeah. So I put in an application at UAS to get the sabbatical and was granted it in December of 2019. And so I wasn't quite prepared for 2020 to be what it was, like everybody else. So my real world was sort of an office spare room of my friends in Wisconsin. But my proposal was to write an open access textbook for the mathematical modeling course that I teach and my friend and co-author also teaches. And so the textbook idea is just because math modeling can have so many different resources that it's nice to be able to collect them all into one one book or one resource. And so that was the main goal. The other goal was specifically to write it as an open access textbook, which I will talk more about in the talk, but open access is a movement that's been started, I think, about 14 years ago, worldwide, really, of trying to increase the information transparency in research in particular. So you've got, and also just to account for the cost that sometimes makes it hard for people to get exposure to information. So one of the examples with research is just, for example, faculty often work for public universities that are paid for by tax dollars in some amount. And then those faculty publish their results in journals that often require a subscription fee to gain access to. And so they're, you know, people are sort of doubly paying for it. Where I use open access is where I came into it is with educational materials, right? So textbooks at the university, I'm the one that picks out what they are. And I remember the differential equations book that I wanted to use cost $300. And it was just like, you know, and it wasn't even upper division math. It was like, oh, well, maybe this is more tricky and they should be more expensive. But it was even elementary algebra was a book that cost $200. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really big problem. And students are having to decide, should I get my books or should I get a meal plan at the university? You know, so open access textbooks are books that are authored by professors, and then they're just provided. There's a couple of different sites that you can access it, but it's free, and you can get a PDF or you can, you know, print it for $20 or $30. But, you know, and it takes a while for the quality to be as good as a textbook quality that's been published, and a lot of time has been put into that. So it takes a little while or the outcome to be comparable, but it's a good thing to be a part of and try to make it better for our students to be able to go to school and not worry so much about at least that aspect of the cost.
Well, from a user standpoint, I super appreciate open source information, resources, software programs, all of that, textbooks. What are some challenges of working with that format for you on the creator end?
On the creator end. I think that the challenge is I like physical documents, I guess, is my first thing, is I would much rather have pages to flip through and navigate between things. So that's what I personally like. As far as creating a document, it's just a lot of computer time. I like the variability of getting up and walking around, teaching and sitting and preparing and talking. And but also I think the technology piece of trying to create a figure or a picture that is trying to explain what you mean in words. So I can draw them quite easy when I'm up, you know, on the chalkboard or something, but to, you know, different programs. There's different software programs to create a different diagram and then trying to make it all compatible. I think that's probably been a challenge for me.
Your talk is this Friday via Zoom, 7 p.m. Evening of Eager Lecture Series. You can go online to uas.alaska.edu/EaganLecture to register and get the link. What can the audience expect when they attend your lecture on Friday? What are some of the things you'll be sharing?
Yeah, so on Friday, I will talk a little bit more about just what is a sabbatical, how does it work? It's different kind of for different faculty or different types of faculty and what you study. So it's just my perspective about what that is. I'll talk a little bit more about open access. It's International Open Access Week. So that's kind of a nice component. And then I'll throw in some math because you may as well. So I'm going to talk about probably a couple examples of a mathematical model. And I think my topic is going to be about bees foraging for nectar. Mm. And so I'll talk a little bit about that and a little bit of the math. So if I think it should be understandable and interesting, even if you don't follow the math bits of it. But if you like a little math, a little calculus, that might be fun as well.
It might be.
It's possible.
No, I think that sounds really interesting. Very intriguing stuff. I like the example that you're using with the honeybees. Well, thank you so much for giving us a look at the world from a mathematical perspective. Is there anything else you'd like to share about yourself, your sabbatical, your book, or your talk?
There's not a whole lot else. I think that the recording for the Zoom lecture will also be available after the talk. So you can go to the Evening at Egan website and get that afterwards. I am grateful to have had a sabbatical. It was a pretty incredible year for folks that stayed here and taught online in all different formats. So it is a pretty great thing to have. And the cost kind of works out pretty evenly for the university. So that was also helpful to know in the times that we're in currently. So I'm happy to also take questions on Friday if people have other questions or they're curious about different models. So if you want to show up for the Zoom part, that would be great. I studied some disease modeling, population dynamics when I was in graduate school. So there's a little bit of that that I know something about. I like all sorts of math and topics and applications, and I probably don't know even close to it all, but I like the conversation.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Megan Busby, Associate Professor of Mathematics at UAS. She will be taking questions at her presentation Friday night, live streamed via Zoom at 7 o'clock. Free, but you do have to register online, uas.alaska.edu/EaganLecture. Dr. Busby, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Shelley.